I'm Brent Adamson, Bedmax Racing Specialist, and I'm lucky enough to be here in Hong Kong talking to Dr. Christopher Riggs, the former Head Veterinary Clinical Services at the Hong Kong Jockey Club. Chris, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role as the Head Vet at the Hong Kong Jockey Club?
Yes, hello Brent. It's a pleasure to be talking to you here. I've been in Hong Kong for almost 17 years now, 17 years to the day almost, and enjoyed every moment of it. I was recruited as head of veterinary clinical services at a time when the single veterinary department was divided into two separate departments, a regulatory department and a clinical department. So I was recruited to head up the clinical department. And over that time, over the last 17 years, we expanded a lot, similar to other veterinary practices elsewhere in the world, as the demand for veterinary services has increased greatly, as technology has increased, and competition really in racing and every aspect of making sure the horses are as fit and healthy as possible. So our numbers have expanded, and the technology that we have in the hospital has expanded a lot. So I graduated from the UK back in the mid-80s. I did a house surgeon's job at the Royal Veterinary College, which is my passion. Surgery is my passion. And doing that, I also developed a real interest in bone and stayed on and did a PhD there under Professor Leslie Vaughan, looking at the reasons behind fractures in racehorses. So it's quite a significant issue for racehorses. And it was around that time where a lot of work was going on and other groups around the world. And we collectively identified that most of these fractures arise as a consequence of fatigue damage. So that sparked a research and clinical interest in me, which was one of the reasons why I was attracted to the job in Hong Kong, because there's the density of the horses and an ability to be able to follow them very closely. So after doing my PhD, I had a spell in general practice in the Somerset Levels, which I really thoroughly enjoyed, although I did realise that I wanted to focus more on one particular thing. So I went into equine practice, specialist equine practice, and from there I went on to the University of Liverpool. And from there, I went to Australia to work in a referral practice in South East Queensland. And then I was recruited from there to come to the Hong Kong Jockey Club. I had a brief spell back in England and then the Hong Kong Jockey Club 17 years ago.
What would you say are the challenges for keeping 1,200 racehorses healthy and fit in this unique racing centre?
Well, you're right. It is quite a unique centre. It's unique for many reasons, because we are in such a compact area. We've got 1,200 horses effectively in a 16 hectare area, so it's very densely populated. So we have to be the whole time very mindful of infectious disease. We have very strict quarantine protocols for horses coming into Hong Kong, which are very vigorously enforced. We have very strict monitoring protocols. Every horse in Hong Kong has its temperature taking morning and evening, and any horse that has a fever is seen within the hour by a veterinary surgeon, and swabs are collected to screen for equine influenza or strangles. Those are the two diseases that are probably most likely to break out and that we'd be most concerned about. And so actually, there's a lot of work goes into preventing infectious disease, but infectious disease itself gives us few problems, touch wood. Most of our time is spent, clearly these are all athletes, and they suffer conditions that are common among athletes, be they humans or horses, such as joint injuries, tendon injuries, and things like that. So we're monitoring the horses very closely to try and pick up injuries at a very early stage to prevent them getting worse and speed up recovery as fast as possible.
Is it true to say that you've always put an emphasis on preventive injury, particularly fractures?
Yes, that's my real passion. As I said, it comes from when I was doing my PhD looking at fractures in racehorses, and the vast majority of fractures that occur are the end stage of a progressive process that takes weeks or months to get to the sort of catastrophic finale. So if that's an exciting thing, in that if we can identify that early pathology at a early stage, then we can take the horse out of training and the horse will make a full recovery. And a very good example of this would be of the use of nuclear scintigraphy or doing a bone scan. And that's something that was introduced just as I was graduating as a vet. And that allows us to identify a horse with a stress fracture before it becomes a catastrophic injury. And over the 33 years or so since I've been qualified, that will have saved tens of thousands of horses' lives. If you diagnose it at the stage of a small stress fracture, then the outlook is extremely good for that horse. Whereas clearly if it becomes a catastrophic fracture, very often it has a hopeless outlook. That's all very well, but the problem is for the horses that don't give you any clinical sign. So if the horse is lame or shows discomfort, then there's an indication to go on and do a bone scan. But if the horse shows no problem, then it can go undetected. And unfortunately, quite a few of the horses that suffer fractures in races show no signs of having a problem before that race. And yet we know that there was still quite a lot of pathology in the bone that predisposed to the fracture. So a tool to screen horses and try and identify those with this early pathology is really a holy grail that many of us working in this area are looking towards. Recently, the ability to conduct a CT exam on a standing horse looks like an exciting way that may help to improve this area. And some work in Melbourne has been a bit controversial, particularly with European horses, but it does show that it can detect some pathology and some changes in the bones that may help prevent fractures.
And do you think there's enough emphasis on preventive healthcare for the horses in general? Or do owners and equine vets understand this approach?
Well, I think there's generally a good understanding about preventing infectious disease. Clearly the need to vaccinate horses in Europe and most countries against common diseases such as tetanus or equine influenza. And the benefits of doing that are well understood. And it's easy to equate those preventative steps to yourself. And we all get vaccinated against diseases and understand the benefits of that. I think probably trying to understand preventing fractures and things is less familiar to many people. Most people would think a fracture is just one of those unfortunate events that happens because a horse takes a bad step or puts its leg down a hole or trips up or gets kicked by another horse, etc. Whereas, as I was saying, the vast majority of fractures that affect racehorses are the end stage of a progressive process. And therefore, if we can perhaps change the way horses are training a little bit, we might be able to slow down or even prevent that progressive process occurring at all. Or if we can be sensitive enough, we might be able to pick up subtle signs and identify those horses at risk before they sustain a fracture. And that message is slowly getting through to trainers and owners, I think, and also clearly to a lot of vets, although there are still some that are becoming more familiar with this topic.
The horses are stabled in double-storey barns in Hong Kong, and the climate can be hot and humid. Does this present any unique challenges in keeping horses healthy?
Actually, not really, not when they're here. The important thing is that the stables are all air-conditioned. And so while indeed, you're quite right, it can be very hot and very sweaty in Hong Kong in the summer months, the horses are actually out in those conditions, not very much. They do all track work in Hong Kong, starts very early in the morning and is finished by 8 o'clock in the morning most days. And when horses go out to race, they clearly are out again in the heat, direct heat, for a very short period of time. I always think it's probably much tougher on the jockeys than it is for one of the horses. We, in terms of managing with the heat and humidity, we have very good protocols in place for detecting risk level and then implementing various stages of protection for the horses. If it is a particularly hot and humid day, we can identify that and implement those measures. And then routinely when horses finish, we have chilled water and misting fans ready to cool them off straight away. The density of stabling, as I've mentioned already, is a potential challenge in that horses, if there was an infectious disease to get in, it would spread through the horses very carefully. That's what's very important. that we do all the vaccination and monitoring very, very closely. Horses adapt to air conditioning extremely well. I was closely involved with the equestrian events for the 2008 Beijing Olympics. The equestrian events were held here in Hong Kong. And before then, a lot of people coming out here were very anxious about horses going into air-conditioned barns and coming out from the barns into the hot weather and going back in the chilled barns, etc. And they thought they'd all get chills. But actually, the horses cope with it remarkably well and are very, very settled. And I think that's the real key. When they've done their work, they can go back and relax and be very comfortable in the air-conditioned environment. It is difficult when horses retire from racing. We have a big equestrian centre. A lot of those horses are retrained in Hong Kong, and a lot of the stables in the equestrian stables around us are not air conditioned, and it takes time for horses to readjust. So there may be a few weeks when they're readjusting, when their coats might get slightly rough, but the vast majority of them make a good recovery. The few that don't, we then maintain in air conditioned barns in their retirement.
And generally speaking, what are the key factors we have to get right to keep our horses healthy and stable?
Well, it's important that the air is maintained nice and fresh. Clearly, a build-up of ammonia or build-up of dust, endotoxins, various other chemicals in the air is bad for the horse's health. Having good bedding, having hygienic conditions are all very, very important. Clearly, just good husbandry of the horses. All these issues are very important in addition to the sort of routine standard healthcare. So certainly bedding, clearly that's important in context of our discussions now, is very important. And having good support for the foot, having clean, hygienic footing, and having a bedding that the horse is very comfortable and happy to lie down in are all very important issues.
I suspect you'll agree the old saying that you never stop learning about horses. Could you tell us something about your own research and what you see as the most interesting development in equine veterinary understanding coming up on the horizon?
Sure. It's absolutely, it's an old cliche, but you really do never stop learning. And I really, really love being a vet for many reasons. One of which is you are absolutely always learning new stuff and seeing new things. And the developments that are happening these days certainly are very exciting. My own area of research, I don't do so much research myself now, although I'm involved with a lot of groups are doing things. And research for me is a hobby and a passion, really, just trying to get answers to things and help us do the job better. So the areas that I'm really particularly passionate about are welfare. What could we do to make the lives of these horses better in their stabling environment, when they're racing, so that we reduce the incidence of orthopedic conditions that they might suffer? How can we treat conditions that they suffer better? Although I go back to that emphasis that you mentioned, where if we get to the point of having to treat something, we've somewhat failed. We need to try and stop it happening in the first place. But we need to get a lot more understanding to get to that position. So I think understanding in training techniques, ways to reduce that load on the bone that is more likely to cause fatigue damage, ways to detect early fatigue damage, like use of computer tomography, CT on the standing horse, I think is really exciting. And that's something that I look forward very much to seeing that develop. So those are some of the things that interest me, yeah.
And how important do you think quality bedding is? Do you think it helps to keep horses healthy in the stable?
Yes, quality bedding is really important. We here have, we don't have access to straw, but we have classically used a lot of shredded newspaper, but we've increasingly moved over. More and more stables now are using shavings, and clearly Bedmax is an excellent product that has led the way in shavings, and we've used that product here since 2002, and I think it's an excellent product. There are other shavings that we use as well, but a large proportion of our stables are using BedMax. I think the advantage of it is that it offers a very good support to the foot, gets under the sole of the foot well and supports the frog and the sole. It is a nice, clean-smelling product, which I think makes a big difference, and it's fairly easy to maintain. So, yeah, I think it's very important. If you have a poor quality bedding, you're much more likely to have foot problems, and it will be you're much more likely to have dust problems as well, which will affect respiratory health. So it is a very important issue.
And finally, Chris, can you tell us a little bit more about your new role and what you do to raise the veterinary standards in mainland China and other parts of the world?
Yes. So I've handed over the department to my friend and colleague, Dr. Paul Robinson, who's now head of veterinary clinical services. And I now have a position of head of mainland veterinary operations. And that really encompasses a new racecourse that we've built in Guangdong province in mainland China, a place called Chunghua Racecourse. And I was very heavily involved in the veterinary aspects of developing that and building the vet hospital there, etc. So that's a big focus of my time. But also I have a focus on helping my profession in mainland China. And that's a real passion for me. The veterinary profession is going through a huge expansion in small animal practice. But I think it would be fair to say that it is really, really undervalued in the care of horses. And it's a bit of a negative cycle where there's not very good training for the vets. So when they come out, they're unable to provide a lot. And therefore, the horse owners don't want to invest in their work. And then without investment, they can't improve and develop. And what we really need is a really good nudge in the right place to encourage and provide opportunity for these young people who want to become equine vets. And there are some absolutely fantastic people, and I have some very good friends who are a real privilege to know, who are doing equine veterinary work in China. And they're very, very capable, but they just need to have an opportunity to develop the skills, practical skills, and an opportunity to have the resources to do it with. That's very hard for them to get the medicines that they require, and often very difficult to get the technology that's required to do that. So that's a real passion, to providing practical training when I get the chance, doing teaching and visiting various places to help. There's certainly challenges, and I can do a little bit to help with that. I'm also interested in veterinary care for horses elsewhere in the world. I'm a board member of the World Equine Veterinary Association, and that has its focus is on trying to provide education for equine veterinary colleagues who might struggle to get it otherwise. And it's a joy to be involved with that.
Thank you, Dr. Christopher Riggs.